Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five, number five.
All right, where did everyone party? Adam, did you do a private party or was that just reminiscing?
No, we do. We do the, it's every year. We do a dollar prop betting game. It's very fun.
What was the food?
There was a local chicken finger joint.
Okay.
There's a bunch of that, and then, you know, the usual, you know, queso and spinach artichoke dip, those sorts of things with the chips and everything else.
No wings? Just fingers?
Just fingers.
All right. So that party was a complete dud.
No.
In trying to meet up to the claim last week that we in Nevada would eat nearly 13 million chicken wings. So you guys contributed zero.
It was officially a zero from our party.
Okay. I had seven.
Okay.
I counted them. So I did my part. We all had, each one of us in Nevada roughly had to eat about four wings.
I had four.
Okay. So you and your friends are the jerks. Thanks.
We're saving chickens. I think that...
vegan Adam Hill. You can't pull out the vegan card now.
By having chicken fingers instead of wings.
Yeah, exactly.
We're under. If the average is four and we had 11 as a show between us three, we're just slightly under.
Okay. We've had this discussion before, right? Are we all finger people versus wings?
Wings in Buffalo or at two places here in town. Otherwise, fingers.
Chrissy?
Yeah, I don't really like working around the bone too much.
I'm a wing snob, no question.
Say it again, Chrissy.
I don't really like working my way around the bone if I can help it too
there
much.
You go. Yeah.
Darn it.
Good news, guys.
So I just try to be creative.
Yeah, I'm very pro finger. I'm very pro finger. Over wings.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a choice yesterday. It was a great party, man. Great party.
I'm gonna need some tips of your favorite finger places.
Well, you know, the worst part is this is part of the whole malaise today. If you didn't listen to the beginning of the show, I told these guys, I'm like, yeah, I pulled an Edelman. You're gonna hear from Edelman in a little bit. I'm a mess today. Edelman was a nightmare this morning. Still awake, drunk, doing at least appeared off doing interviews in the morning. I had some fingers at home. I brought them out to the car. I put them on the top of the car, and like a mile into my ride, I'm like, man, the fingers aren't in the car. So just launch those all over the street.
That's the worst.
I don't know what
feeling.
The hell is going on today. This is what the Patriots do to me when they win. I'm off.
It's a nightmare.
I never miss out on chicken fingers.
But you are very forgetful.
Yeah.
Like, you remember things long term. You're very short term.
It's so
forgetful.
Weird.
Yeah.
What is going on?
It's age.
Sucks.
Yeah. Still, never mind.
Chrissy, your parents were in town. Did they both get hammered yesterday? By the way, did you?
I did not.
Oh, look at you.
I'm the kind of person who likes to watch the game and not be interrupted. Or have
by
people.
Alcohol?
Or, yes, at all. Like, I don't want to be inebriated. I don't want people to be talking or asking me questions. I also could not pay my mom money to watch a Super Bowl.
Really?
If I wanted it. Like, you could offer her.
Adam always says he doesn't believe that.
It's true.
Oh, there's exceptions to everything. But yes. The overwhelming majority of people are almost all watching in some way or another. Either the halftime show or commercials.
Yes.
Did you tell them not to come this weekend? What's the point? So essentially your mom ruined the Super Bowl for you.
Well, so I still watched it. They went to a show on Saturday night.
Okay. Sure.
And so that's.
And then you said your dad left early.
And he had to leave early.
So your mom was alone while you watched the Super Bowl without your dad here.
Yes, but I will text with my dad during the game because, you know, he taught me. He taught me the game. So
sure.
It's kind of a little tradition. And he was very confused and disappointed at the, quote, androgynous man that was doing the halftime show.
Okay. Well, good segue. Let's get to it.
Number four.
All right. First of all, props on Maroon 5. Harder to Breathe was the song, which was not available on every prop list.
Yeah.
I mentioned the prop twice last week. We'll take his shirt off. And as the show went along, you know, one of our friends, Teresa, I'm talking to her and I'm like, it's coming off. The shirt's coming off. All right. And so she immediately noticed. She's like, oh, he's got a zipper on that. Then he had multiple changes. And then when he got down to the tee, I was like, yeah, this is a lock. You remember my reasoning?
You want to show off his yep. all the work?
He's massive now.
Yeah.
So I don't know what, you know, the special sauce that he's using, if he's just lifting hard. He's like 40 pounds heavier than he used to be. And here's the thing, folks. This show is not for any of us. It's not. It's not. The halftime show is not for sports fans.
Yeah.
It's for, I believe, women and casual fans. So sorry, Chrissy, I know you're a woman, but you're a sports fan. So I knew the shirt was coming off. And I will tell you, the three women I was with were like, oh, I don't know what noise they made.
Wait, do that one more time?
I can't make it again.
They were
fired up that Levine took off the shirt. So shirt off, prop one. I know people.
I will say there was.
And by the way, no hat to start.
That's true. That was a
hat,
prop also.
Hat at the beginning, no hat. No
I'll
hat.
Say, I'll say there were several women at the party I was at that were like, what is he doing?
Really?
Yeah. Like, why would he do that?
Ew.
But I heard other people talking about parties they were at that, you know, people were going crazy for it.
Yeah, I would say, I don't even know how you can nail a number. I'd say 85% of people were either apathetic or thought it was bad.
Oh,
the show.
The overall show was horrific. I don't hate Maroon 5. I've talked about that. I actually think, especially their first album, I thought was great. I don't hate them. They were awful yesterday. That was an awful performance. And I think some of it might have been the sound, because it seemed like they couldn't hear because they were off beat of their own songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that they don't know their songs.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think it was nerves. I think it had to be sound. And then, like, obviously I wish Travis Scott and Big Boy did a lot more. They let Travis Scott come out for, he did, what, like one verse off Sicko Mode, which is fine, but he was kind of off on his own song too. And then Big Boy, whatever, it was fine, but with no Andre. What are you gonna do? The show was okay, but I thought those guys were okay. Maroon 5 was terrible.
Grade F
on the whole show.
Yeah.
Well, D because I still love Travis Scott and Big Boy, but yeah, it was bad.
I'll give it a B, but for only one reason: is it above a C plus or a C? And Chrissy actually nailed it on social media. What do they bring out that saved the halftime show?
They brought out
drums,
the drum line.
Yep.
And in fact, I was like just so excited for you.
Yeah, I love drums.
Yeah,
I love drums. I love bands. You claim that that's not possible.
That's
I'm
not.
Telling you, I like drums. It gives it a football feeling.
I've never seen you like go to a drum show.
Well, that'd be creepy if you went to like a middle school drum line.
No, he already said he likes to go watch youth sporting events.
No, I said you can't. I said about 8 years ago that you can't do that anymore. You can't just stop off and watch a Little League game.
You lamented the fact that you can't do that anymore.
I lamented the loss of innocence.
Right.
That we're very screwed up now from a society standpoint, which I guess in a way is maybe we're not screwed up because they're probably were just creepers all over the place.
Yeah, you're not going to run into like Chris Hansen.
It's not like pedos or something new.
Yeah, you know what? I actually, after watching, and we'll do it later in the week, but after watching Abducted in Plain Sight, I don't think adults and kids should be anywhere near each other.
Told you. It's one of the creepiest documentaries ever.
I think we should separate. Let kids raise themselves and let adults be somewhere else.
Yeah, I also think Maroon 5 fell victim to the overall opinion of the Super Bowl and how bad the game was.
Yeah, but I think that actually
level,
helped them.
You mean like their energy was?
No, I'm saying on the field, the fact that the Pats and Rams didn't engage in a great game defensively, yes, but Maroon 5 is just like, oh, now these guys on top of this.
I think that helps you out. I think people are starving for some entertainment, and you should have a better chance. I think most of the time it's like if it was like 28-27, people are like, God, now we got to sit through this. I want the game back on. I think right then they're like, all right, give us something.
Yeah, there's the room I was in probably had. Couple thousand, and I got a video. I'll show you the video during the break. It's an older waitress dancing. Really enjoyed the halftime show.
Okay.
But beyond that, there was no energy in the room.
It was.
At least one person enjoyed it. One in a thousand.
I told you, the three ladies I was with really enjoyed when his shirt came off.
So it's like 12 seconds of the halftime show they enjoyed.
They gave it an A.
The same amount of time that it took for Gladys Knight to say Brave?
Twice.
Number three.
Sort of related, I guess. Is Travis Scott... I'm not even sure how to put it. Is he a street cred? Or has there been an argument about this?
There's a little bit of argument.
Okay, he's not like Papa Doc.
a little.
Oh, he is. So he
not,
went to
not
like the
quite.
He went to the Cranbrook of is that the name of the school?
Yes.
The Cranbrook? The Cranbrook of H-Town?
Not necessarily to that level, but yes, that he is well educated and just, you know, a good guy. Like that's negative.
Well, you know, that's no street cred then.
Yeah, he's out.
What's the guy's name who just got popped on like 15 felonies? Takashi?
Takashi?
Yeah.
6'9".
He's no Takashi, right?
No. Well, Takashi's there's argument that he's a little fake too. But Travis Scott went Kardashian, so he's kind of...
Ruined for life.
He's kind of out, too.
Okay. What was this rapper, hip-hop dude arrest? Deportation?
Facing deportation.
Really?
This is one of the craziest things I've ever heard, and I'm still reading more on this. I want to learn a whole lot more, but 21 Savage yesterday...
Who?
21 Savage.
Okay.
The news kind of comes out about 3 hours before the Super Bowl. I was actually hoping he would be part of the show. I was hoping that there'd be, you know, some cameos. Like, I was hoping Andre would come out, although he said he wouldn't. 21 Savage is an Atlanta guy, we thought. And I thought maybe he would be a part of the show. Maybe bring him out, come out in rap, and maybe he'd even be the one that would wear a Cap jersey. That was one of the props out there as well. Will anybody take the stage wearing a Kaepernick jersey? But just before the Super Bowl, a couple hours, stories start to come out. 21 Savage has been arrested. Okay. And then, like a half hour later, he was actually detained by ICE. Well, wait a minute.
From Atlanta.
21 Savage is from Atlanta. What do you mean? Detained by ICE? Now, you read a little bit more of the story, and 21 Savage, by the way, has detailed his early life many, many times. Talked about the upbringing that he had. In fact, I think I referenced it not too long ago here. There's a morning show in New York that I love listening to their interviews. He was on there kind of breaking down everything that he's gone through in his life as a young man in Atlanta. Now, this story comes out and says he's actually from England. He came here legally when he was 13 with his family and overstayed his visa. And now, you know, he's detained by ICE and facing deportation back to England. It was a stunning piece of news for the simple fact of his background is so well documented. Now, is it completely made up? Did he fabricate everything about his background and his origin story to get to where he is? That very well could be. It wouldn't be the first time in hip-hop somebody had made claims like that. Again, as you referenced, it's even in the, in the fictional movie, 8 Mile. Making up your life to a certain degree. Like, that wouldn't be totally new. But how would nobody have known about this? 21 Savage is massive. There's nobody, like, from his middle school that, like, nah, man, that was the kid that came here from England. We were in 12th grade, or whatever, 8th grade. Nobody has said anything? This is not out anywhere? This is insane.
Well, it's a massive story for follow-up, because if it's true, it's crazy. If it's not, and he was detained under some suspicion that he's actually not an American, how do you think the reaction is going to be on that?
And also, real quick, you mentioned Takashi. Takashi just cooperated with authorities on his case, and they said he provided extensive information about a whole lot of people. And there was speculation yesterday that Takashi told the feds that Travis Scott had this, they have a beef, or excuse me, that 21 Savage had this backstory that was fake and that he was actually from England, and that he's the one that got 21 Savage arrested yesterday from ICE, from his stories, which that would also be crazy and tie into another story. So a lot to digest in this story.
Number two.
I'm going to call an audible, switch up the Big Five a little bit. Was this the worst Super Bowl you've ever seen?
0% chance. And we talk about prisoner of the moment all the time. That is so stupid. This was a competitive game until like 5 minutes left. Actually, it was a competitive game until a minute 40 left in the game. How is that bad? Like, I understand there's not a lot of scoring. It's the lowest scoring. But you're going to tell me that you'd rather watch a 44-3 or a 44-10 game like the Bears-Patriots? That's better? You want to watch blowouts like 49ers-Chargers?
Bears-Patriots was better.
No.
Yes, it was.
Was that the 44-10 game?
Are we going back to 85? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, 46-10. It was better.
No.
It was more entertaining. Yes, it was. Yes.
It's a blowout from the start.
It was more entertaining because the Bears were legendary. The defense was awesome. And you had the fridge play. That was a better game.
We're not just talking
about the competitiveness on the field. Sometimes a blowout can be a showcase. Like
a showcase.
Would you argue that the Niners absolutely destroying the Chargers was actually a better game than some game where no one scored?
No, I can't even accept trying to make an argument that a non-competitive game is better than a competitive game. There's no way. There's no way. I'll take 3-0 over 44-3 any day of the week. That's competitive. It's right up to the end. Who's going to win? That's what it's about. I don't need to see a showcase of offensive talent. I want to see a competitive game. Competitive games are better than non-competitive games, period.
For you.
For anyone. How could they not be?
People will take lots of scoring on one side as a giant showcase for an all-time team.
That is a preposterous thought.
You're preposterous.
That's fine, but I can't even imagine how you could make that argument that a non-competitive game is better than a competitive game.
Yeah, I don't think it's the worst all time.
I don't even know if it's on the list. Again, I hate the Patriots. I don't want them to win, but a competitive game I'll take any day of the week. Sure, do you want more scoring? Yes. But I'll take no scoring competitive over tons of scoring non-competitive.
Top story.
Number one.
So one of the big storylines coming out of this game, because we have to focus on negative. So if you're not going to kill Goff, kill McVay, kill Maroon 5, you got to somehow crap on the winner. I'm not exactly sure this is crapping on the winner, though. It is based in fact. It is weird. At the end of the game, so Edelman goes 10 for 141. He wins the MVP. And I hear Boomer Esiason almost like angrily saying, "See?" I forget, what did he call it? It wasn't Twitter tough guys. But he was declaring a victory on social media because he's been calling for Julian Edelman to get into the Hall of Fame. I was right. All right, first of all, I still don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
No.
The dude's got 614 catches. This is his whole career. Regular season, postseason. 614 catches, about 6,800 yards, 35 touchdowns. He's a key player on an all-time great era, part of an all-time great era. But he's not a Hall of Famer. But here's the bigger point. Think about this. So storylines out of this game. Tom Brady, first quarterback with 6 Super Bowl rings. Bill Belichick, first coach with 6 Super Bowl rings. Fact, Julian Edelman is the first player who served a penalty for testing positive for PEDs to go on to win a Super Bowl ring that same year. That's a fact. Now, I know Patriots fans are going to get their panties in a bunch and get all fired up, but it's a fact. And then we've got Boomer Esiason saying that he's a Hall of Famer. We're, what, a week? I forget these things. 2 weeks? Less than 2 weeks removed from Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. By the way, under the specter of PEDs, they're never getting into the Hall of Fame. But we have a guy who was suspended this year, got caught. And we've got tons of people saying, hey, show the guy some respect. He's a Hall of Famer. Why are the rules so much different in baseball than football?
I don't know. It's baffling. And I think you could... I guess the one point I made was everybody just assumes everybody in the NFL is on. Like, isn't that the same that was in baseball? I don't understand how that's different. I don't get it. I tweeted that right after the game. It wasn't just him. It was like a push after the game of solidifying his Hall of Fame spot. Well, what did Barry Bonds do? Didn't he solidify his spot at some point? And we're going to hold that over him? And I'm not saying you shouldn't. That's held against him that he can never get in because we think he probably did. Julian Edelman did.
Yeah.
You think Barry Bonds cheated. Just listen to this. You out there think Barry Bonds cheated. Julian Edelman did cheat. He was suspended for it. You can't possibly make the claim. Bonds can't get in, but Edelman does. That's insane.
And it can't be a racial thing because Clemens is getting the same treatment. there's something with baseball and steroids versus football with steroids. And, man, it's perplexing. Here's Edelman this morning on CNN. Listen, he was doing, I think, what we'd all do, which is he stayed up all night. Good for him that he lived up to his commitment to do this interview, but boy, oh boy, was he out of it.
You were suspended for the first four games of this season for use of performance-enhancing mm-hmm. drugs. What did you learn from that experience?
Hello?
Okay. Learn a lot from that. You learn a lot. You learn that you have to have a short memory, because you could dig into a deep hole if you go the other way with it. But I learned that, you just got to move on and you got to keep on working mm-hmm. and you got to work your way out of it. And, that's what I tried to do.
You got to keep on keeping on. Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
I think because he was out of it, he was stunned by the question and he had no answer. Although he must have answered this in the past. Is that the answer? He's always, I guess, maybe I missed it along the way.
Got to work your way through it.
You got to have a short memory, Steve. Come on.
That's what he learned? You have to have a short memory?
He learned it.
Or, I learned that I will get caught if I use. I learned that, maybe it's the case, I really need to pay attention to what people give me, especially if it's Alex Guerrero. That's just an allegation. But
Alex was out on the field last night.
Of course he was.
He didn't get the kiss, though. Only Kraft did.
So what do you think of that answer? Do you just chalk it up to he's in La La Land too in the morning?
Well, also it's the delusion, and it's also, by the way, he really hasn't been pushed on it,
right?
As we've said.
Well, when you're in a city, and man, there are so many New England and Boston sports fans who claim their media is really negative. They're not on a whole. No. There's always a soft landing spot for Patriots players and coaches. And you're probably right. No one's pushed them on it. And if they did, what would happen? The entire town would come down on them.
Of course.
There was a chick who got stumped by Julian Edelman. She sent out a picture. It was like 4 years ago. She sent out a picture of him out, and she got just universally blasted by Boston. There was some club owner who was like, you whore, cursing at her. Like, yeah. Dude, relax.
Never allowed in our club again.
Yeah, that's right. She's banned from the club scene.
Will you come on?
So why wouldn't Edelman believe? I have to answer this? I don't have an answer. Give me a little more Edelman as we try to crank up the engine, but it doesn't get much better. He was having a good time yesterday or this morning.
How much did you sleep last night?
I haven't slept. I haven't slept. I'm up early to take this interview with you guys, and I'm happy about it.
That was the answer. That was actually that was a weird follow-up because clearly the CNN anchor, and I forget his name, he said it was a Patriots fan, but he was like, wow, that steroid answer was terrible. He is loopy.
How much do you think the lingering effect of the steroids you took before the season helped you win? I don't think that's going to be asked either.
The follow-up?
Yeah.
Forget about it.
We have to have a short memory. Dig your way out.
Here's the wrap.
That's fantastic. I'll let you leave on this message. I get a lot of hate at being a Patriots fan. You must get that times a million. What's your message to the legions of Patriots haters this morning?
Why you gotta hate? Collaborate.
I like that. I like a rhyme.
Why you gotta hate? Collaborate.
The long delay, too. Why you gotta hate? Collaborate.
And then just made that up just now.
Yep, and then he says at the end, I just made that up right now. He looked off to the side. Like, I nailed that.
Got it.
Not really.
Got him.
No one can get on Edelman, though. I mean, the answer is terrible, but it's also, the Super Bowl MVP, if you're putting him on TV in the morning, whatever time that was, 6:30 Eastern time, I mean, you're taking a risk. It might not be the same risk as, interviewing a fighter who's just been knocked out. But it's a dangerous spot.
Collaborate. Yeah.
Why you gotta hate? Collaborate.
Stick around. Cofield and Company returns in minutes in the Findlay Toyota Studios. Cofield and Company is back with Steve Cofield and Adam Hill on ESPN Las Vegas.
Ready for action, nipping in the bud, we never relaxing. Outcasts is everlasting, not clashing, not at all.
So Big Boy didn't save the show, huh?
They didn't give him enough time. If it would have been all him, I'm sure he would have done great.
Adam and Steve, Chrissy, 5 o'clock hour. We were just talking about one of the stories emerging. It's really a sports talk and social media story emerging from the Super Bowl, and that is Julian Edelman winning the MVP. And kind of interesting about the way he's covered. Andrea Kramer has been around the NFL forever. That's a good thing, right? It's a good thing.
Yeah.
She has a lot of knowledge. NFL Network was at ESPN for a long time. She's part of the Amazon Thursday Night Football broadcast. Andrea, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you? Don't forget about HBO Real Sports. And
yeah.
Perfect time to bring you in to talk a little Julian Edelman, because before the game, you had a really cool feature on Edelman and his father.
I did. We actually, the past couple of weeks, we've done a few stories on Julian Edelman. Yes, it's always nice when you do a big story pregame and he turns into the MVP. So yeah, I think it's a story that in some ways completely typifies the Patriots, because people forget that this is a player who was a quarterback his entire career until Bill Belichick drafted him and turns him into this wide receiver punt returner, and he'd never done it before. And it's one of the things that we sort of touch on in our story, which is how his father did all these really wacky, unconventional type of drills to prepare him to be a pass catcher in some capacity, whether it's as a receiver or a return man. But it really is incredible to think of a player who never played that position, who's excelling at the level that he is now.
When you go to do a story on a guy like that, do you have it in mind, like, I think this guy could have a big impact? That's why I kind of want to pick him as a subject.
Well, if you know the Patriots offense, you know that he's Brady's go-to guy.
Yeah.
So, and especially with things being up in the air with Gronk, you know, against the Chargers, Rob Gronkowski was basically a glorified lineman. He was like an extra right tackle. And then in the championship game against the Chiefs, he was a really viable target and the kind of player that we really haven't seen in several weeks. You remember during the season, Gronkowski was hampered by ankle and back injuries, and so you really weren't sure what kind of Gronk you were going to see. The thing that was encouraging, certainly if you were a Patriots fan, is that the Rams have had a lot of trouble covering tight ends, and really when you're 6'7" and have his size and strength, he's so difficult to cover as it is. But that being said, Edelman is still Brady's guy, so we wanted to do that, not just for that reason, but because he is just a terrific story in his own right.
What's Edelman like off the field? Because there's a lot of times, you know, chip on the shoulder, little guy, overachiever, can't turn it off when they're away from football. What's he like away from football?
You know, the funny thing is he and Brady grew up 7 miles away from each other. Julian grew up in Redwood City, California, and Brady grew up in San Mateo. And so they both have this sort of degree of, if you will, California cool type of thing, just this kind of laid-back, sort of soft-spoken, demeanor, if you will. But Edelman is just, he's so focused on constantly trying to hone his craft, because in his mind, he's still picked number 232, and also keenly aware that in Bill Belichick's system, you produce or you're out.
Huh.
It's just that simple. And doesn't matter what you've accomplished, it's in the Belichick system, it's really kind of, what have you done for me lately? I think that Belichick has particular admiration for Edelman because, as we've sort of been talking, he really he created his role. I mean, this is just so typical of Belichick. I did another story on some of the hallmarks of Belichick's coaching over the past 19 years in New England, and one of them is what we call position flexibility, which is what enables a wide receiver like Troy Brown to have played defensive back. Julian Edelman himself has played defensive back, and I was talking with Willie McGinnis about this, And this idea of position flexibility, which, look, it helps your depth. It helps you be able to go into game plan-specific games. You know, each week the Patriots' offense and defensive schemes change. And when you have that kind of position flexibility, this starts in the draft process. And that made me think of Edelman really more than anything, because Bill looked at him, saw an athlete, and he knew he could be at some position just when he was drafted, albeit at 232. It's not exactly a risk to be taking somebody that late, but he knew he could. He just thought he would turn into something. But I don't think you'd ever, if you put Bill Belichick under a lie detector, he would ever tell you that he's going to think that this guy is going to be second all-time to Jerry Rice in playoff receptions and second to him in playoff yards as well.
Is Edelman a Hall of Famer?
You know, it's really interesting because, pardon me, some of that discussion started to come up last week because of those two numbers that I just mentioned to you about how close he is to Jerry Rice. And now all of a sudden, when he gets a Super Bowl MVP award, he has to be in the conversation. He's going to have to be in the conversation. And listen, he sits at, what, 115? Rice is at 151. If they play three playoff games next year, if they're back in the Super Bowl, it's not out of the question. He's 32 years old. And I think the other thing, guys, that we cannot forget, which is really amazing, is that he missed all of last season with a torn ACL. He's 32 years old. He plays a position where plant and cut is really, really important, change of direction. So the idea that he came back from this injury, and it was a non-contact injury, and the best thing that happened to him is that it happened very, very early in the season. So it happened, you know, before everything got going. So he had that full year to really heal up and get his become the Julian Edelman that the Patriots had relied on.
So we were just having the discussion not only about the Hall of Fame, but also the way it seems like there's a difference between how the NFL is covered and Major League Baseball is covered. Part of Julian Edelman's story this year is he tested positive. He served a four-game suspension. In baseball, that seems to be a death knell for your chance at the Hall of Fame. I mean, can you explain why one sport seems to be so hardcore about guys who get caught using PEDs versus football? They seem to be a little more understanding.
Well, number one, I will never defend the idea of using PEDs. And I'm not going to make excuses for Edelman in any way. He was injured. I imagine that he was using HGH to try to heal up.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly a school of thought that says if you are using something to try to heal from a football injury, you know, there's that discussion that's in place. But the bottom line, the rules are what they are. You can't use performance-enhancing drugs. So do I think that will be a big bone of conversation, big bone of contention? Absolutely, because it was performance enhancing. It enabled, you know, who knows how much it enabled him to get back on the field. I think that the difference with baseball is that it was systemic. Now, believe me, guys, I'm not saying that it's not systemic in football. We don't hear about it as much, but you also have to remember the climate that existed in baseball. Oh, the excitement of Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. And you know, just from, do you remember what that was like? I mean, gosh, crazy. Everybody is, the attention that it focused, no, never mind, it's not really for real, they're all juiced up. And then it became an assumption that everybody was juiced up, right? And yep. Jose Canseco didn't help things either by basically, you know, almost accusing everybody possible that they took something. So it was definitely a systemic, generational, whatever you want to call it, situation in baseball. You know, that notwithstanding, we were actually, it's funny you bring this up because we were talking last night and we were sitting here going, wow, who would be the last athlete that did have a PED suspension that was eligible for, or that came up for the Hall of Fame? So I think I'll tell you one thing. Years and years ago, and it was the year that Sean Merriman from the Chargers had this monster season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He tested positive for PEDs. And I said to the guys that I work with, I said, what I would consider is if you test positive during the season, you are not eligible for any postseason awards. So you're not eligible for the Pro Bowl. You're not eligible for Defensive Player of the Year, which at that point he was considered the leading candidate. And a lot of guys scoffed at me. Nah, that never happened. Guess what happened that season? It's exactly what happened. They didn't make them eligible. So let me tell you, I'm just throwing this out there, maybe as a point of conversation. What if you said, hey, here's a rule. You're suspended. You fail a drug test for performance-enhancing drugs, and you're suspended. You're not eligible for the Hall of Fame.
Makes sense.
That's pretty harsh, huh?
Yeah. Well, but the media has done it themselves in baseball. Like,
right.
They've just decided that.
Well, and Andrea, it would eliminate the ambiguity with the voting because, mm-hmm. In both Hall of Fames, if you test positive, you are automatically out. Then we wouldn't have to have this weird read by media, which, right. By the way, have I forgotten Clemens and Bonds? Am I right? They never tested positive in the baseball system either.
No, but remember, it was sort of the guilt by association,
mm-hmm.
right? Their
yep.
names were out there. That type of thing. But no, neither has ever admitted. No, neither has ever admitted to using it. So, listen, it's baseball, unfortunately, this generation is going to be forever tainted. No one's ever going to believe that someone didn't use and just maybe got away with it, which I think is pretty, it's pretty unfortunate for those players' careers. But, hey, this is, again, the climate that existed.
We are short on time, so I'm going to ask you to... I want you to tell a story, but I feel like we need like 15 minutes to tell it. Andrew Kramer's with us. The return to Atlanta for you means something, right? I saw a great feature in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. You were making this giant step up career-wise at the Titans and Rams Super Bowl. What was going on right before the Super Bowl?
Oh, just this little thing called giving birth. I went into labor in Atlanta, 3,000 miles away from our home in Los Angeles. And I always said that my son couldn't believe the Rams were about to win the Super Bowl, and he had to see it for himself. So, yeah, he was born on January 26th. The Super Bowl, the Titans-Rams Super Bowl was
yep.
January 30th. So he did. He got to see the Super Bowl. But, yeah, it was – I mean, we can talk about it now, and it's a great story. And yes, it was pretty amazing being back in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. I drove past, I didn't intend to do it, or I didn't intend not to do it, but I was driving and there was the hospital, and that was really crazy. It just, wow, it just brought back so many incredible memories. But I can talk about it now because obviously he's healthy, he's a strapping college freshman and all that, but at that time, it was just this crazy story that, it was sort of what seems more improbable, an ice storm in Atlanta, which they had back in 2000, or Andrea Kramer giving birth to the Super Bowl, and I guess both happened. So,
boy.
Yeah, it was actually pretty special. Kurt Warner and I were talking about that, how many memories each of us had being back in the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Boy, I thought my week was rough. I got a cold that week when I was down there covering it. You went through a little more. Let's close on this. This is very cool. So the Amazon broadcast, you guys are going to be back for another year, right?
Yes. Amazon renewed Hannah Storm and I for Thursday Night Football. They actually renewed us about seven months early, which was just, a really great vindication. We are an option for viewers to listen to Thursday Night Football if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber. And it's really cool. We're in 200 countries, and that gives us quite the kind of worldwide platform, which is pretty neat. And I guess technically I'm the first female NFL game analyst, so I'm very, very proud of that. On top of, my Hall of Fame selection last year, it's a little stressful, needless to say. Stretching the old skill muscles, as might the phrase go, but it was great. We learned so much every game. I like to think we got better, and I think we'll be better even next season. And again, it's a different broadcast. My God, we don't profess to be Joe and Troy or Al and Chris, and we could never be that, and we don't want to be that. If that's what Amazon wanted, then we would just have the the alternate stream of the Fox broadcast. But
right.
I give kudos to Amazon, because when they came to us, it was basically, we want Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer. And if they agree, if they don't want to do it, then we're not going to go to anybody else. This is what they wanted. And as I've said, we may not be your cup of tea. You may not choose to listen to us. And as I said, we are an option. But you can't besmirch our journalistic credentials. And that, so I feel really proud that Amazon chose to go this direction. And yeah, I'm really, really psyched that we're going to get another season of 11 games next year.
Very cool. You can open next year's first broadcast with a Patriots-like chant. We're still here. We're still here.
Oh, I like that. I should have taken that earlier this last week. Yeah, that's good. That's really good. We're still here, exactly. And don't you think that expression sort of has a little bit of a we're still here, na 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 na.
Oh yeah.
Oh, right? Totally.
100% of it.
Totally.
Exactly. You know, feel free to insert in your own refrain or whatever. So that's good. I like that a lot, guys.
Andrea, as always, we are thrilled that you came on with us. We appreciate it. We want to get you on down the road as you're producing more of these great stories all over the sports world. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thanks to Chrissy, your producer, for tracking me down.
Yeah.
And it's always great to talk to you guys. Terrific conversation, and really enjoyed the questions. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Vindication, she said. You heard that, right?
She teaches a class on interviewing, so for her to say that it was good questions is very good.
Excellent. Excellent. I want to before we get out of here, I want to get back to that word. She said vindication. The deal a second time around with Amazon is vindication.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.
It's Cofield and Company's.
You want it? Check it out.
Grab bag.
Smells like fish in here.
Hey, don't touch that. That's nothing to play with, man.
On ESPN 1100, 100.9 FM.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Boy, we already have some good jumping off points for tomorrow's show. Going back on the convo with Andrea Kramer, who just joined us, she noticed that I repeated her saying vindication about a second year. It's been renewed, the Amazon broadcast with her and Hannah Storm. She was texting with Chrissy and said, wait, did I say vindication or validation? She said vindication. I think she's been saying validation about the deal, but it is vindication. So she's not shying away from that. There are a lot of people who thought those two would be a disaster. There are a lot of guys who just hate female voices.
Yeah.
So for her, she's like, hey, I'm saying this. She didn't say it. Like, up yours. We're back.
Yeah.
And by the way, my point on we're still here, that chant is appropriate for Hannah Storm and Andrea Kramer. It's never been valid for the Patriots, because people will write off female broadcasters. No one wrote off. The only people who wrote off the Patriots are people who are trolling or have to pick a side on talking head shows on TV. It's the embrace debate thing.
Yeah, again, they were the favorites.
Max Kellerman has never believed that the Patriots were way out of the mix for a Super Bowl title. I can guarantee you that.
No. Nope.
It's for TV.
Does.
No one does.
No. They're going to win the division and be in first place no matter what. They're going to have a home game in the playoffs. Any of those teams can succeed, but we also have seen them do it time and time again. Nobody thought they couldn't do it.
And as we pointed out at the start of the show, the favorites for next year's Super Bowl, Super Bowl 54 champion, early numbers already out. It's the Patriots. They're not a dog. We expect them to win next year.